Many people don't stop and think about exactly what is the their own definition of home, but that's not a luxury, not defining it, that many refugees or immigrants have.
Home is my family, my friends, people around me, everything basically.
Fresh air. Yeah. It's coming to the spot today and like playing football with my friends.
Peace, freedom, and opportunity for to achieve their goals.
Maybe my iPod. Can't live without my iPod.
Those are some descriptions of home from immigrants, refugees who came from Somalia, Kurdistan, and Kosovo and ended up in Scotland. They were speaking during last year's Scotland Refugee Week. And as part of our week-long series about home, we want to talk about what it means, what home means when you've crossed national borders to make a new home. And we're going to speak with two people who are rejoining us on the program. Dean Almengestu is the author of How to Read the Air and The Beautiful Things That Heaven Bears. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also with us, Azadeh Moaveni. She's the author of Honeymoon in Tehran, 2 years of Love and Danger in Iran. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let me start with you, Dinal. Do you think you have a different conception of home since you've had to change it, not just like down the block or a different city, but a completely different nation?
I think so. I think I tend to think of home as something that you're not necessarily born into, but that you actually have to construct. And that it's in sort of active engagement on your part to cobble together the resources and the people around you that actually make some place feel like you belong and that you can always return to. And for me, that is much more my sense of home rather than the place that I've actually ever been born in, because I've left that country and I've left America again. And so home is very much a construction of my own will, love, and effort.
Born in Ethiopia.
Born in Ethiopia.
Came to the United States.
Came to the U.S.
Now living in France.
Exactly.
So, I mean, when people say words like homeland, home base, the American dream of home, does that maybe strike you as off?
It's not so much that it's off, but that it should also allow room for, I think, a multiplicity. You know, I'm definitely very American, and I feel very attached to America as a sense of belonging and as a country that is my home. And at the same time, I have a strong attachment to Ethiopia as also being home, even though I left it at a young age. And having more than one home does not sort of actually contradict or conflict with each other. I think there's more space in our hearts to have multiple places that we consider ourselves as being a part of and that we consider to be essential to our identity and in that regards home.
Azadeh, what would you say to that? Would you agree with Dinal that home can be many places when you think about your home?
I identify with that quite a lot, actually. My family came to Iran in the mid-70s before I was born. So I was born in America, but grew up very much with this idea of myself as an Iranian because we were in a diaspora community that was still very much attached to the idea of Iran, thought that they could one day go back. So for me, home really is this sense of longing because I moved back to Iran as a young adult and I thought I would then feel intensely at home in Iran because that's where I grew up thinking that this is my homeland and found myself very much longing for America and then also the reverse, longing for Iran when I came back to the States. So that feeling of being perpetually in between and crafting a sense of identity and home for myself, that's definitely how I see myself in the world. And home to me has almost nothing to do with geography anymore.
Well, that's interesting, Dinal. I mean, I wondered if you get that too, that feeling that home is the place you're homesick for.
Exactly. And I would agree with everything that had just been said. I mean, when you leave one country, oftentimes it's very easy to look back and feel the sort of strength of those attachments in the absence of a particular nation. And you can do that, again, on multiple fronts. So, you know, I go back to Ethiopia, I oftentimes miss America, and I can feel my attachments to America growing stronger when I'm away from it. And at the same time, when I'm in America, you can also realize that the fact that you have attachments outside of the country that are also key to who you are. And recognizing the power of those places when they're not in front of you, I think, is part of the proof that these places are important to you and that they are your home.
Azadeh, you know, politically in Iran, for various reasons that we don't need to get into in the last few minutes of the hour here, your home was made unwelcome to your family for whatever reason. And going back for you was a way of figuring out what of Iran welcomed you and what of Iran politically was rejecting you. How complicated does that make home in a situation like that?
Well, on the one hand, it makes it incredibly complicated. And then, you step into the situation, and then it also becomes sort of breathtakingly simple. Because when I moved to Iran, you know, this Iran of the Islamic Republic, very different than the Shah's Iran that my parents left, I arrived there and I felt like a complete alien. I thought, my God, am I so much more American than I realized? And then with so much joy, I found that many, many Iranians who had never even set foot out of the country felt alienated as well, because the country had become this dictatorship that they didn't identify with, that they felt was alien to Iranian culture. So in that sense, I felt myself sort of becoming part of this almost international Iranianness that felt so displaced from any kind of actual existing modern Iran, and felt its home was in really the Iran of the past, not sort of this Persian lofty past, sort of distant history, but you know, the Iran of contemporary poetry and the Iran of Rumi. And this is something that I think Iranians all over the world and Iranians inside the country feel very strongly in this way. That
that's fascinating.
They needn't.
A homeland of collective alienation, in a sense.
Exactly, exactly.
Dinao Mengestu, is there anything that you bring with you always, no matter what home you're in, that when you unpack it from your bag or from your box, suddenly that place is home?
No. I think because I've grown so used to actually shifting places and moving from one country and one city to the next, and I think I've done that on numerous occasions now, that I think what I do carry with me is a strong sense of sort of internal grounding that you've had to build up, and a sense of interior space that makes me comfortable regardless of where I am. And that's very much a constructed identity of feeling like I can be both American, Ethiopian, and wherever I am, I'm going to always be this mix of these two countries and these two identities. And therefore, wherever I am, I kind of have hopefully a strong sense of that identity that keeps me grounded.
But you're a writer. I mean, your home is you whip out the notebook and you make a note.
Yeah.
You probably carry a lot of books with you, yeah, but it certainly does add a new dimension to thinking of your home in the cloud, right? Two guests who live, to a certain extent, in the cloud. Dinao Mengestu, author of How to Read the Air and the Beautiful Things That Heaven Bears. Also, Azadeh Moaveini, author of Honeymoon in Tehran, 2 Years of Love and Danger in Iran. Happy holidays to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And all of you who are traveling, if you're going by plane, we want to hear the story of your TSA experience if you were at the airport. Most people won't be going by plane, though, and we want to hear your travel stories. Text 69866, include the word scan. That's scan 69866, and we'll hear and share your stories. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.